Well, I want to talk about salvation tonight. I want to talk about it because God spoke to me about it as I was reading Psalm 91 again the other day. And Psalm 91 ends with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And he just pretty much emphasized to me that he has a salvation. And his salvation, I think his salvation is a little different than religious ideas of salvation is. I'm sure of it. Because he wouldn't call it his salvation if there wasn't something special about it. And I know that, as if you read the devotion, you know that, I mean, salvation conjures up thoughts in everybody's mind, okay? To people who have no use for God, salvation maybe first triggers some animosity toward a religious idea, you know, one of them Christianese terms. Or to somebody who has no idea of God, about God whatsoever, when they think of salvation, they just think of, you know, oh, this person, you know, saved them from drowning, and so they were their salvation or whatever. When you look in the dictionary, in my Webster's dictionary, there's six definitions for it. Five of them deal with a deliverance from the power and the consequences of sin. And one of them just says deliverance from danger. Okay? And so, but if we stop there, which is where many people, many religions, Christian or otherwise, stop, is that the idea of the salvation, okay, there can be, churches will claim to be your salvation. Right? You know? Some churches think that they are the only one. Some churches within denominations will be thinking they're the only one. They have the same name, but theirs is the only brand that has the only one. We actually, the Bible study that we studied in, was pretty convinced that they were the remnant. And which was, I was glad that I heard the good news, but I was a little concerned about anybody that wasn't in that remnant. But the Lord was good to lead me a little deeper into salvation. Because you see, yes, salvation from the foundational idea is that the Lord saved us. That Jesus came into the world, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever called upon his name could be saved. Okay? But we know that the Bible tells us that we should work out our salvation. We know that in Hebrews it tells us that we should be careful lest we should fail to enter this rest. And we know here in Psalm 91 that the Lord says that he will satisfy us with a long life and show us his salvation. And so what is his salvation? Well, I think that Psalm 91 is a glimpse of his salvation. I don't think it's all of his salvation. But I think he ends that psalm by telling us that this is a glimpse of my salvation. The Lord's type of salvation is not, you see, for some people, the idea of salvation is okay, now I will go to heaven. And then I will experience my salvation. But we won't experience salvation in heaven. We will experience heaven in heaven. We experience our salvation here on this earth. We experience our salvation, the fullness of our salvation, the working out of our salvation. We experience that. Our salvation is the kingdom of God. God's way of doing and being. That's our salvation. That's why he saved us. He didn't save us to then desert us until we come into heaven and say, now, here's your salvation. But he gave good gifts to men. And he empowers us and enables us to utilize those good gifts, and that's part of our salvation. part of our salvation leads to the salvation of others. Okay? Now, the thing is that for a long, long time, when you have people with a mentality that says, okay, now I'm saved, this is my salvation, then they have nothing to show to anyone else to make them desire it. There was nothing about what they had, unless it would be fear motivated, you know, you're going to go to hell if you don't get this salvation. Don't take that salvation over there. You need to have the salvation that we present you. Okay? I'm saying that the only salvation that's a good salvation is the Lord's salvation. And he knew that people would be small thinking about salvation. He knew that we as people would have a tendency to underestimate his salvation, or that we would try to possess it for ourselves and be selfish with the salvation, or that we would try to manipulate with that salvation. And he said, I'm going to satisfy you with a long life and I'll show you my salvation. Now, his salvation gives a long, satisfied life. Okay? I know a lot of people who are saved, but they ain't anywhere near satisfied. There is no contentment in their life. There is no peace in their life. There is no confidence in their life. That you can be saved and not be satisfied. Okay? But the Lord says, I'll satisfy you with long life. You'll have a life that is satisfied. So, at the risk of someone thinking that I've gone off my rocker, I'm just going to say to you, if you're not satisfied, then you're not experiencing the Lord's salvation. Okay? Now, that's not anything that is condemning anything. That's just simply to say, if you're not satisfied, then there is something for you to get you satisfied. If you're not content, if you're perplexed, if you're in agony, you're not experiencing the Lord's salvation. That doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means that you are not entering in to that rest. And so if we recognize that, if we recognize, wait a minute, this isn't God's place for me, and then we will say, I want the Lord's salvation, and I won't quit until I get it, guess what? It will come. Just that quickly. He doesn't dangle his salvation out like a carrot. He doesn't torment you. He doesn't want you to get so miserable that you can't stand it. No, he wants to come quickly. He says in Psalm 91, he says he will call on me and I'll answer him. So there is no excuse for someone who is saved to be a malcontent. There's no excuse to be complaining all the time, miserable all the time, because you can be different. Now, again, there are people who are saved but are not satisfied. And the reason that they're not satisfied is because when the Spirit of God comes into us, He wants God's salvation. And we can't be content without God's salvation. We can't be content until our cup is overflowing. Because he anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The problem for a lot of Christians is that goodness and mercy is running around trying to catch them, and they think it's supposed to just keep following. It's a fact. I will go out on a limb and say that there are a lot more people who read Psalm 91 thinking it is wishful thinking rather than thinking that it is a strong probability. Not a possibility, but a probability. When people read that psalm, those who have not determined that they're going to experience the Lord's salvation, they see 1,000 will fall at your right hand and 10,000 at your left, but it will not come near you. And they say, 4,000 people have died in Iraq. Well, there's a lot of people that have Psalm 91 on the inside of their helmet that went there that have had things blow up around them and they're still here. You see, the Bible is full of promises that are probabilities. And the only thing that keeps them from actually happening is our failure to be satisfied with His salvation. Now, don't turn that into some religious thing that says, yes, you should be satisfied with less than God wants you to have. Yes, you should always just be satisfied. Your calling is to suffer. If my calling was to suffer, I'd ask for a different calling. I would go to a different line. And I would say, I don't want that line. I want this other line, Lord. Well, your calling is to just be sick. Don't stay in that line. Go for another calling. I want the other one. I want the satisfied with long life and see the Lord's salvation line. That should be the longest line. In fact, there shouldn't be anybody in any other line. Everybody should stand in line for that. It's worth the wait. And it's not a 3-hour wait for a 30-second ride. It's no wait at all for a lifetime ride. But if we don't know, if we don't press to have that, then we can be told, somebody can tell us, well, you stay in this line. And there's people standing in wrong lines in the kingdom of God because somebody said, this is the line that you belong in. I know. You're right. Doesn't come from God. God doesn't tell anybody that. But still people do that. Because they aren't looking for, they aren't expecting the Lord's salvation. They've stopped somewhere and said, okay, now I'm saved. That's all there is to it. If that was all there was to it, that's why people don't get into it. If it's just wait until someday when you die, who wants to die in a hurry? You know? If that's the way it was supposed to be, we'd get saved and God would kill us. Why would He leave us here to torture us and to torment us? Well, I got a deal for you. I'll save you. I'll let you be miserable for 50 years and then I'll save you again. No. That wouldn't even make sense, would it? Not for our Heavenly Father, but somehow in the minds of men, they convince people that that makes perfect sense. In fact, we can become so convinced that it's the only sense. I admit, I was pretty convinced God had to give me a dream to break me out of the idea that, you know, there was just this one group, and if you didn't worship on this one day, that they're just, that was just it. But God gave me a dream that showed me very clearly that, well, that was just silly. Because it was saying that Jesus was not enough, that you also needed this. And I said, well, that doesn't make any sense. But if we're not careful, we can miss the truth. And that's why the Lord said, I'll satisfy you with long life and I'll show you my salvation. Don't be satisfied with anybody else's salvation. Anything that does not line up with my salvation, God says, forget it. And his salvation is a place of refuge. His salvation is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. His salvation is abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. His salvation is having these blessings come upon you and overtake you. That's his salvation. This book is full of his salvation. He said, I'll satisfy you with long life. I'm satisfied. I ain't perfect, but I'm just pretty satisfied. I don't really need much of anything. I buy things, but I don't really need much. Vicki helps me to explain to me what I need sometimes. I'm so thankful that I have her to help me with that. Because I could get a chair and live in a garage. And I, you know, not for long. Okay. What's that? I need to shower? Now? No, not right now. Okay, you're just thinking that sometime I would need to. Okay, yeah, that's true. But I mean, you know, God is good. He just is good. And if we will trust Him, He'll just show us His way. He'll show us His route. I mean, sometimes in our lives, it's like we are in a maze, you know? And we aren't always able to see our way out or to see our way through. But if we keep going, looking unto the Lord, we'll end up at the place that we're supposed to be. And it won't have been all that bad at all. I mean, you think about it. Now, I've been in the maze out in Rapid City, okay? Now, you know, they want to make it a race. It don't need to be a race to me. And it doesn't bother me a bit to walk down the wrong route and have to turn around. You know? I mean, it's not a big deal because I'm usually doing more important things when I'm doing things like that anyway. I'm talking to the Lord then. I'm saying, this is one of the sillier things I've ever bothered to do. You know, why should I do this? I mean, if I really had to do it fast, I suppose then that it would, I would just do it fast. But I mean, it's not a big deal. You see, life dictates to you, not long satisfied life, but life dictates to you that you need to find the route and you need to get through if you got to break through a wall to do it. Well, I'm not going to break through a wall unless the Lord says go through the wall. If the Lord says go through the wall, I'm through it. That will be all there is to it. But if He doesn't say to, I don't want to hurt my shoulder. I don't want to hurt my head. I don't want to cause myself any pain. I believe in healing, but I don't believe in going out and jumping off a cliff in order to have the Lord give His angels charge over me and hold me up. But I am confident that according to the Word of God, that if I fell off the cliff, He would catch me. If somebody pushed me off the cliff, I'd be rescued. Now, that is a lot more satisfied way to live than to live saying, you know, I don't go near cliffs because I know I'd fall off and die. Or I don't get around a lot of people because I know people just want to push me off the cliff. Yeah. When you allow the Lord's salvation, when you allow yourself to be satisfied by the Lord's salvation, then you don't have anything to fear. You have all the confidence in the world that when I call upon the Lord, He is going to hear me. He's going to answer me. He has to answer me because He said He would answer me. If He didn't say He would, then He wouldn't have to. But He said He would. Now, Jesus said, remember Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I wasn't going to, I wouldn't have told you that I would. But since I told you that I would, that's what I'm doing. So, if God says, when you call me, I will answer, now He said that He would, so He has to, right? That's not manipulating God, that's trusting God. That's expecting God to keep His word. I don't want to serve a God who doesn't keep his word. And he doesn't want servants who won't keep their word. So, we need to keep our word too, don't we? If we say we love God, we need to keep that promise. If we say we'll trust God, we need to keep that promise. Right? We aren't earning anything, but we are opening the doors to his salvation because we believe in his salvation. I want to see all of his salvation. And I've only got glimpses of it, and you've only got glimpses of it. No matter how much of it you've experienced, you have not experienced a tiny portion. Because you've still got a lot of satisfied life to go. And he's still got a lot of amazing things and amazing ways to work things out. But when we quit trusting him to work them out, guess what? He has to quit working on it. And when we decide to just bow our necks and do it our way, he's got to let us just bow our necks and do it our way. Even if we're messing it up worse than it was in the first place, it's still not a problem for him. He can fix it just that quickly. Just that easily. I spent at least 20 years working very hard at messing up my life. Mom might think it was longer than that. I don't know. If I was reasonably good until 10, I'm not sure. Fortunately for her, she was shielded from what I became. But the fact of the matter is that I spent a lot of time messing it up bad. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he changed it. He just changed it. He just transformed it. And put in me a spirit that knew things that my brain didn't know. But my spirit knew that God was faithful. And my spirit knew that God didn't save me with nothing good in store. My spirit knew that there was more. Now, that had nothing to do with me, it had to do with him. The only part that had to do with me was believing him and not giving up on him and simply expecting him to keep his word. Because he will keep his word. And he says, with long life I will satisfy you and I will show you my salvation. I think that we could translate that into, you ain't seen nothing yet. There's a lot more. Let me show you. You know, it's like standing at the door of one of those mansion type places. I mean, serious mansions. The ones that you think are two motels, and how could they be somebody's house? And Diane says, oh God, I'd hate to have to clean one of those. You know, one of those where you would start at one end and spend most of the year getting to the other end, only to turn around and head back to the other end maybe. One of those things where you're standing at the doors and you're amazed at the doors, and then someone opens the door and says, let me show you the rest. Now we should be amazed with God and with his goodness. But we shouldn't just stand outside the door. We should step in. Let him shut the door behind us. With no desire of ever finding that door again. With no desire of ever getting out. And then seeing his salvation. Let me show you my salvation. Is any among you sick? Let him experience the Lord's salvation. I asked Angela tonight, a youth group, if we needed to pray for her neck, and she said, nope, it's fine now. In worship, God touched her neck. Praise the Lord. But to experience His salvation when you're troubled, when there's troubles, expect the Lord's salvation. Say to the Lord, you are my refuge, you are my fortress, you are my God, and you I will trust. I'm not feeling satisfied, so it can't be God. I'm expecting your salvation, Lord. Don't expect to struggle through. Don't expect to muddle through. Expect the Lord's salvation. Begin to declare the Lord's salvation. Remember when we read in Numbers, it says, the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine and lift up His countenance upon you, be gracious unto you, give you peace. And then the Lord said, so they shall put my name on my people and I will bless them. And Jabez prayed and said, Lord, that you would bless me indeed, that you would extend my borders, that your hand would be with me in all that I do. Keep me from pain, that I might not cause pain. And the Lord granted his request. Just that simple. Yes, it can be that simple. Not only can it be, it's supposed to be. That's what the Lord says. He says, I will satisfy them with long life, and I'll show them my salvation. Tell them, Roger, I'll show them my salvation. Tell them, I'll show them my salvation. And what He's going to show you is going to be something special for you. Can you believe that He has special, little special things for you? Little special things that He's picked out just for you that He just can't wait to give you? Nikki's all the time picking up little special things that she's going to send to Jerry. Because Jerry really likes Grammy. And Jerry keeps talking about Grammy because Jerry knows that Mom and Dad will tell Grammy that he's talking about him. And Grammy always sends him stuff. You know? Well, there's wisdom in that. So, how about if we always talk about Father? How about if we talk about His salvation? How about if we talk about what's coming from Him? How about if we speak of things that are not as though they are and just be satisfied with long life knowing that, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. How about if we do that? What will we be like then to others? We'll be satisfied people. We'll be people who know of the Lord's salvation. We'll be people that can speak the truth into other people's lives and they won't even know what's coming, but it will touch their lives. It's offering people the Lord's salvation, which is life when they're feeling dead, which is hope when they're feeling hopeless, which is health when they're feeling helpless, which is whatever they need. Love when they're not feeling very loved. And then they wonder, where does that come from? Well, it comes from the Lord. Not from us, but it was what the Lord has put into us. Because you see, all of these things that we so desire from the Lord, we desire them so that they will benefit other people. Because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Okay? But it ain't so bad to have either, okay? It's okay to have. Remember, you're not in that line where you got to be miserable. You're not going to wait in that line that says, I'm just the one that's supposed to be sick so the rest of the world doesn't have to be sick. No, that's not the case. Jesus did that. You can't do it better. You can't improve on it. No, 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 no. You can't. You may think so, but you can't, and why would you want to try? See? The Lord says, I'll satisfy them. I will give them. I came that you might be made whole, that you might be made complete, that you might have peace. And remember, peace is all necessary good. Salvation is all necessary good. And it's not impossible, it's probable, because it's promised. It's yours, it's mine, it's ours, it's theirs. It's for everybody. For God so loved the world, as Vicki told us on Sunday, right? Judy wrote me an email and shared with me, I don't know how many of you remember, that there was a time back, a month or 2 months ago maybe, when she had said that she's in worship, she saw the Lord as a lion. I mean, He is the Lion of Judah. But she didn't share the rest of it, that she said that after she had said that, she felt like the Lord looked at her and just sort of shook her in fun. The Lord wants to have fun with you. The Lord wants you to enjoy Him. And because when you are enjoying life, when you are satisfied with life, then you will express a joyous, satisfied life. And when you are expecting the Lord's salvation, it does not matter what kind of a hole you might be in, God is good. You'll be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that said, we know our God's able to do it, but even if He don't, we ain't jumping in a hole with you. I'd rather burn in a furnace quick than live miserable with you, O King. Then bow down to that when I've got my God. See, this is the confidence that we have to have. God said, I'll show you my salvation. So then we can say to the Lord, Lord, show me your salvation. Show me your salvation in this. And that doesn't mean that we have it all written out from Him and a big picture of it and dates and moments and everything else involved in it. We just need to be able to say, Lord, this would be a good place for you to show me your salvation. I'll be waiting. I'll be looking for it and I'll recognize it when it comes. It begins with a hello from the Lord. It begins with a, I'll show you the way from the Lord. Just let me show you my salvation. That's all God asks of us. Let me show you my salvation. Not even what you thought it was before you came here tonight. Not any ideas of what you had in mind. That's behind. What's your salvation the rest of tonight and tomorrow and the next day? Don't try to base the Lord's salvation on what you think has been the Lord's salvation. Because if it hasn't been godliness with contentment, which is great gain, then it hasn't all been the Lord's salvation. You've been missing some of the Lord's salvation. Let it go! Christians get in the habit sometimes of looking, well, let me see, let me figure that out. Oh, quit figuring. It's our figuring that messes us up all the time. What happens if we just one day, you know, when we got saved by asking the Lord into our hearts, we were supposed to leave the past behind, right? And move on. So then each day as we are working out our salvation, each day that the Lord is showing us our salvation, if we catch a glimpse of something that just might be a little nicer, why don't we go for that? Well, I'm going to stand in this line for just a little while and watch and see how that line really works. And if it looks like it's working good enough, well, then maybe I'll step over in that line. But I don't want to lose my place in this one, you know. I'm still holding on to this one. That line hasn't gotten you anywhere. Go to the next line. Get in the line for the Lord's salvation. Because He said, I'll satisfy you with long life and I will show you my salvation. If you're not satisfied, change lines. If you're not experiencing what the Lord has promised, then move into the place where the Lord has promised it. Move closer. You can even cut the line with the Lord. Don't make any difference. Nobody's going to complain. If you're willing to run faster and get there to experience the Lord's salvation, it's all right. I'm content. Satisfied. And he'll show you his salvation. And again, like we talked about the peace on Sunday, when we talk about this, we need to come to that place where we just say, you know something? Lord, show me your salvation. Yesterday's gone. Sweet Jesus. And tomorrow may never be mine. But I'm going to have that sweet salvation that the Lord has for me for today. Because nobody knows what tomorrow is. I'm not even worried about tomorrow. But I want to be living in his salvation. Amen? Lord Jesus, thank you for a satisfied long life. Wouldn't want to live a long life not satisfied. And the only satisfaction there is, Lord, is in your salvation. And your salvation is not just a ticket to heaven. Your salvation is the life in the kingdom of God. So teach us, show us, lead us into that, Lord, so that we in turn can be lights in the darkness. You said that we are the light of the world. It's time that we were. You said we are the salt of the earth. It's time that we were. You said that we should salt our conversations with life. The only place we can get that kind of life is from you. It's time for us, Lord, to step up to the next spot, to the next level, in preparation for whatever it is you have planned. We thank you for this and we praise you and commit to you, Lord, this is what we're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. And I say, I won't be satisfied without the Lord's salvation. I won't settle for less than the Lord's salvation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Ryan, can we pray for you? Hallelujah.